When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Danny Salazar, Senior Vice President and Relationship Manager in Commercial Banking at Associated Bank. Danny, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve.
I want to focus our conversation on a couple things today: interest rates, the state of the economy, the economic forecast for the country. But first, I want to focus on interest rates. I know that the Fed is poised to perhaps lower rates coming later this year. The International Monetary Fund, though, has warned that global interest rates could stay higher for even longer. What is the scenario here for interest rates, not only here in the U.S., but globally?
Yeah, it seems to be the topic of conversation, at least I feel like for the last year. And, you know, I think the one item that keeps the level of uncertain of what the Fed or other global banks will do with the interest rates is how the economy or the world economy is doing. You know, as you know, in June, the Fed met and it indicated that, you know, they were going to keep their short-term rates largely unchanged, but their commentary did hint at a rate cut in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think this is contrary to what the markets and many investors anticipated at the beginning of the year, where they were expecting five rate cuts in 2024. And as the economy has continued to remain on sound footing, but I think more than anything, inflation has been persistent. It hasn't gone down as high or as much as the Fed would want to implement rate cuts. That's what's kept rate cuts at bay. But I think you're starting to see a slowdown of inflation, not only here in the U.S., but across other economies. And so with a potential for a rate cut in the fourth quarter, I think the market and future markets are pricing that in, but also anticipating that what they expected for 2024 will shake out in 2025. And what I mean by that is, you know, they expected five rate cuts in 2024. And with the economy keeping on steady footing, I think they anticipate that there will be some gradual decline in consumer spending as we head in towards the end of this year, and eventually may see those rate cuts in the 2025, which effectively just push their scenario forward by a year.
Danny, Fed Chairman Jay Powell said that it may be wrong to wait for 2% inflation, that target that the Fed has set, because it may not come. And so he thinks maybe there's going to be other things in the economy that's going to push the Fed to act sooner. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think those are the expectations that we're seeing both from our bank as well as clients. You know, inflation has been just persistent for the last 3 years. And I think much of what our clients have seen is, you know, the goods that they're buying to sell to their clients have not gone down. And, you know, to the extent that that's continuing to push all of inflation forward, there doesn't seem to be a slowing. And so what I anticipate the Fed is considering is, okay, if inflation is at least steady and it hasn't seemed to impact consumer demand as much as they anticipated, they may look at other factors that could take into consideration for a rate cut. And, you know, I think their approach is, you know, analyzing data first and then assessing the environment, not only from a business consumer, but also what's going on around the world. And, you know, one factor that they have to take into consideration is labor and wage growth. And I think they've seen that come down at the pace that they had anticipated. You know, when we talk to our clients, the number of job openings have declined year over year. And, you know, many business owners are evaluating their business more from a overhead management as opposed to, you know, where can I find the next two or three new hires to support business growth? Just given that growth has slowed down and the business outlook has normalized a bit.
The IMF global growth forecast is for 3.2% growth this year, 3.3% growth next year. In the U.S., it's 2.6% this year, but 1.9% next year. And one of the things, and this might be something you're hearing already from your commercial clients, they're warning of an escalation in trade tensions, global trade tensions in the next year. You don't like to hear that if you're a commercial client, right?
No, and it certainly is playing into a lot of our conversations, especially as they look forward for the second half of this year and then start making decisions that could impact 2025. And I would say that a common theme amongst my conversations with commercial clients is the political landscape, but as well as the geopolitical landscape. You still have economic slowdown in the euro, as well as China. You have major conflicts in Ukraine, in the Middle East, and you could see U.S. policies that impact trade tariffs. And when you factor in all of those variables, that's a lot of uncertainty. If we could just kind of focus on the geopolitical risk in Ukraine and Middle East, I think the items that impact those conflicts are, could come in the form of higher prices for imported goods as well as oil. When it comes to trade tariffs with Asia or China, I think you could potentially see disruptions in supply chains as well as escalation of goods, similar to what we saw in 2020-21, but less so for trade tariffs, but more just of COVID and then the supply chain that came from that. It is, there's a lot of uncertainty. And then I didn't even mention the pending or coming election this fall, which also could impact a lot of policies.
Well, Danny, let's dive a little bit further into the forecast, the economic forecast for the U.S., focusing on a report I saw about several different things. They looked at consumer spending and business inventories, business investment, several different factors to make their forecast. And I'm going to focus in on a couple of those. The one that kind of got my attention right off the page was business investment. And this report said that in the coming year, several different sectors are going to see a pretty good investment, upwards of maybe 3 or 4% in the next year. One of those is the mining sector. One of them is construction. It's not all bad news. And the general forecast was optimistic for 2024 and 2025.
Yeah, I think the report that you're highlighting is very similar to what we're seeing in our client base. Part of the reason why you're seeing in business investment still remain strong is because there was a pause last year, both from the investment and business community. And that pause came from uncertainty. You had a banking fallout that, hindered businesses in terms of, what can they anticipate from the economy? What can they anticipate from their bank? What does lending activity look like? And with all of that uncertainty, many business owners, I think, paused their investments and potential acquisitions or other large projects that they had in mind. And it also, happened that the Fed was expecting a slowdown. So when you factor all those items into place, I think the business community, for in large part, wanted to kind of hold and see how the economy was going to unfold. And, as we ended the year on in a sound footing and the first half of this year, I think we saw an uptick in demand both for equipment, acquisitions, real estate. I think the general tone was, we can't wait and see. And as far as we see, the economy is on sound footing. Let's move forward with those projects that we at least had in mind or are at least now being presented, given that there is a little bit more stability in the economy.
One of the other areas forecast that I saw some positive news from was the housing sector. I know that's been sort of a sore thumb for or sore point for a lot of folks. There's just not been enough inventory. This suggests that over the near term, which they forecast for later this year and part of next year, that housing starts are going to go up. That there's going to be more building because of the price of homes in the U.S. and the shortage of homes on the market.
Yeah. You know, I think what we're seeing on our mortgage and real estate side is that, you know, there is a shortage of supply for residential housing. And, you know, on our real estate lending group, you know, I think they're seeing an uptick in demand from developers that are looking to fill that void by developing new homes, knowing that, you know, consumer demand is sound. You know, I think the one thing that has impacted housing purchases or refinancing is mortgage rates. You know, with interest rates still being elevated, that has pushed the cost of housing much higher than it had has historically been. But I think when you factor in the cost of renting, you know, it is becoming a more attractive option to buy, just as rental rates have gone up in the last 2 years.
And finally, one of the areas I think that really shows optimism, or at least a positive outlook about the economy, is how many mergers and acquisitions we see. And U.S. M&A activity decreased in June. It was down about 11%. Talk to us about that on a national level, but on a local level as well. Are you seeing M&A and what would be the forecast for the rest of the year and for part of next year?
Yeah, well, I think what we saw in June was a little bit of a pause in response to some of the comments that I made earlier about the outlook with so much uncertainty around our political and geopolitical landscape. I think, you know, business owners and the investment community are kind of just pausing for the time being. But if you look back to the first half of the year, you know, we did see an uptick in M&A activity from manufacturing, distribution, and service industries. And I think the driver of that activity was largely driven by what we saw last year. We saw a lot of deals that were at least started but put on hold because of the uncertainty around capital, the Fed, banks. And once that more or less normalized towards the end of the year, those conversations started to pick up at the beginning of this year. And with the normalization of the economy, I think what we also saw was that the seller and buyer expectations were more in line with each other in terms of transaction amounts. And so as we look forward, I think, you know, we expect that will pick up once there's a little bit more clarity on what the Fed is going to do, the elections, and then geopolitical. Simply because, you know, I think one thing that I hear from our clients is labor has been a challenging item for the last 2 to 3 years. And as revenue growth has become harder to attract, they're looking at other businesses to acquire and roll into their businesses where they can thereby they can maximize their efficiencies by servicing that revenue and those clients with the same overhead structure that they have. And so for that reason, I think we expect M&A activity to continue to just ramp up towards the second half of this year and potentially into 2025.
Yeah, and there's one group that keeps score of some of the big M&A activity that's already happened in the past year, and it says something, I think, about Chicagoland, that one of the biggest one on the list was Riverwoods-based Discover Financial Services and the merger plans with Capital One. So at least Chicago area is represented on this M&A activity scorecard.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw more of that coming in the next 12 to 15 months because there is ongoing consolidation. But, you know, I think business owners and the investment community are looking at their businesses to see how they could grow their revenue while increase their earnings, but being able to manage that with a lesser or lower labor pool. And I think that's a trend that's going to continue going forward.
Danny, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. You can reach me directly at 312-544-4597. And as always, you can connect with me on LinkedIn.
All right, Danny, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.